Fashion.
Turn to the left.
Fashion.
Turn to the right.
Fashion.
Fashion.
You're listening to Fashion on 95BFM with Penelope Noir.
Good morning, Penelope Noir. How's it going?
Morning. I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, good. Good. Now, what are we chatting about this morning, fashion-wise?
I thought we could chat about a project called Recommerce Atacama, which is, you can go to the website, it's Recommerce, A-T-A-C-A-M-A.com, and it's a website that sells clothing, well, it doesn't actually sell clothing, it gives away clothing for free except for the price of postage, and it does send the clothing all around the world. And it's designer items like Calvin Klein and Nike and Adidas shorts and even leather miniskirts and things like that. And you're thinking, why? How can this be free? And the reason it's free is that it comes from landfill, the clothing. They're discarded clothing that is sent off to Chile because there is a free trade port called Iquique, and so when it's a duty-free port, they can, ship clothing in and resort it and send some out, and then they think about 70% of it goes to a dump that's in the Atacama Desert, and it's illegal to dump clothing, but there is a massive pile there, and you can see it from space.
Okay. A dump that is just made of clothing that you can see from space. Okay.
Yeah. And what complicates it, I guess, is that Atacama Desert hasn't rained for something like 14 plus years. So, and the fabric, the majority of it is synthetic, so there's no, it's not possible to biodegrade. So, yeah, so it's a major issue, and the whole process is that, you know, a lot of the clothing is made in China or Bangladesh, and then it passes through Europe, Asia, or the US, and it's like secondhand or unsold. It arrives through the port, and it's sorted there, and some of it, like, that is good quality will be sent out again to poorer countries for them, you know, for clothing there. But the rest of it is kind of trucked out to the dump, where it goes through another kind of process, and it ends up in small stalls, and there's a street market called La Quebradilla, which is 7,000 stalls of used clothing, but because there's so much of it, and because fast fashion is increasing all the time, that it's just turning out to be impossible to, like, repurpose. So that's why this huge pile has ended up in the Atacama Desert.
Why in Chile specifically? Why? And where, first and foremost, where are most of the clothes coming from, and why are they ending up in Chile?
Okay, so they're in made in China or Bangladesh, but they're coming from all around the world, and they end up there because it's a it's also happening in Ghana, and there'll be other places around the world, but because Iquique is a free port, it means that there's no, or free trade port, it means that there's no duty or taxes. So it's free trade ports are created to kind of encourage employment, and while in the beginning kind of became, it was manageable because it was in 1975, the clothing that was sent there could be sorted, and it was easy kind of to discard and things like that, but they've just become so overwhelmed with the amount of clothing. And if you look at videos of Ghana, it's so bad that the seashore is completely filled with clothing that is just blocking, like, the beaches and stuff like that. So it's not the only place, Chile is not the only place that this is happening in. And this Recommerce Atacama.com, they went through and they found 300 items of clothing that were perfect, and they just washed them and made them available for free. And this was to encourage people to kind of, like, just be aware of what's happening there and kind of get people to think differently about fast fashion and throwing clothes away and, like, thinking about mending and stuff like that. And it's just one kind of organization along with many others, including Fashion Revolution Brazil. And it's just trying to get people to think about you know, yeah, their waste and things like that, because the synthetic clothing, as I said, it doesn't biodegrade. And sometimes people go and set it on fire to try and get rid of it, but it just creates toxic smoke.
Yeah,
so it's
a plastic
just
fire.
Bad.
Yeah. I mean, what role is fast fashion playing in the build-up of this clothing waste in the desert? And are there any specific brands that are disproportionately responsible?
I guess the best way to kind of describe it is, you know, it's brands where instead of having, say, four seasons of collections per year, they have 52, so one per week. So they're like ultra fast fashion. And I think most people will know who they are. I don't kind of want to, you know, name brands, but it's the ones that, you know, every week the window changes, you can get a new item of clothing. They rip off designer label designs to try and knock off cheaper versions. They mass produce in poorer countries, sometimes, you know, with really bad, you know, employment conditions for the workers and things like that. So there's a whole cycle of stuff that's happening that's really bad. And if you think about, you know, 100, 200 years ago, people bought, you know, a winter coat and that lasted them for, you know, a number of years and then they handed it down to their family. And we just don't do that anymore.
Yes.
We buy multiple, you know, winter coats, which, you know, I'm like totally guilty of this as well. And, you know, it's kind of like we don't mend things. We just throw them away. And I think that it would be really good if everyone just started thinking about, hey, it'll be all right to just patch this or, and you can have a look on Instagram and there's some cool like ways of patching things. Like there's a Japanese way, which I can't remember the name of, but it's like tiny stitching and it looks really cool once it's completed. You know, and I guess everyone can learn to sew a little bit.
Has the fashion industry responded to the visibility of the Atacama situation? Are there any policy changes or has anyone made any sustainability pledges or any changes?
Yeah, and interestingly, in Chile, there's a National Geographic article from last year, and apparently in 2016, they created a law about trying to force the producers to take back their waste so that they're responsible for getting rid of it.
Yep.
It's called the extended liability of the producer, or LEREP for short. But it's not necessary. It's actually not about textiles. It was only for lubricant oils, electronics, batteries, small batteries, containers and packaging and tyres. So at the moment, textiles aren't in there, but I think it's something that people have to like start thinking about, you know?
Yes.
Apparently this kind of idea about extended producer responsibility have been adopted in India, Australia, Japan, Canada and some US states, but I'm not sure whether that covers clothing as well.
Do you think there's anything that consumers can do practically to avoid contributing? I mean, is it just buy, you know, like shell out and buy something as of better quality? Is that essentially the...
Yeah, I think it's buy quality over quantity, you know. It is that thing about, you know, if you buy, I guess, wool and cotton and things like that, they tend to last, I don't know, I think they feel better and last, I guess, longer, in the sense of you can mend them, whereas like synthetic fabrics are a little bit harder to do that.
Yeah. I mean, what can people do in Aotearoa when they're like, oh, my clothes are getting a bit old and they do want to get rid of them? What do you do with your clothes when you've decided that they are, you can't repair them, or you're like, my T-shirt is totally stuffed now.
Yeah,
I'm going to get rid of it.
Well, I think like... my favourite thing to do when I'm just having a wardrobe clean out is going to Common Equals website and buying a wardrobe pack, which is about $19, and they send you a massive big bag, or like empty bag that you can put your old clothes in. And it has a big postage label and you send it back to them. So it costs you, $19, and that includes the post. And it's massive, because I did this over the Christmas period after we spoke to Common Equal. And that was really good for clothes, because they will mend some clothes, like, you know, if you've got a missing button or a seam that needs restitching, they have people that go in and repair the clothing. I think, you know, other than that, just when you do kind of give your clothes to op shops and things like that, think about the fact that, you know, they're going to other people that are going to wear them. So think about, would you still wear them if you had to, you know, so making sure they're clean and just repaired and that sort of thing. And I guess, you know, there is a point where you can't really reuse your clothes any further. I mean, I use T-shirts for cleaning vinyl and stuff like that. But, you know, at some point you've got to throw them away. So, yeah, I guess it's just trying to think about buying less in, at the starting point.
Yes. Well, we've had a couple of texts through, Penny. Someone's saying, latest text, stop buying plastic clothes. So, yeah, I guess if you're picking something up off the rack and it's a bit stretchy, just be mindful it might be plastic. Someone else is saying sashiko, Japanese visible mending.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
And someone's saying, just bought a pair of noodle jeans. Didn't even realize till I got home that they offer free repairs for life. And a 20% discount when you trade them in on a new pair. Definitely not the cheapest jeans, but well worth it for the planet.
Yeah, that's cool. I think there's a shop in Ponsonby Road for them as well. It might be the Old Miss Crab store. And yeah, or else it's another brand that does the same thing.
Excellent. All right, Penelope Noir, thank you so much for fashion this morning. We'll check in with you next week.
Thanks, Johnny.
Cheers. Bye.
That was Fashion on 95BFM with Penelope Noir.
We are the Goon Squad and we're coming to town. Beep, beep.
Beep, beep.